lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us.
You came from heaven to earth to show
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, you are Lord of all. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Your name is above every name. Glory to God. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee has to bow, every tongue has to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Everything that can be named has to bow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice, for your love, for your grace, your mercy, for the hope that you have given us, Jesus Christ. Glory to God. You are our hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And a hope that will not make us ashamed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for being all in all. And thank you for your sacrifice. Glory to God. And as we partake, help us to always remember what you did for us, what you accomplished for us on Calvary's cross. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And for those of us that don't know, expose us to that truth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The curtain was torn in half from top to bottom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Access. Access. Entry. Glory to God. You can come to him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what he did. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And when he comes in, glory to God. You are his temple. No longer have to go to Jerusalem and talk to a priest. Glory to God. He's made you a priest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your body is his temple. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know, once you get a turn your life over to the Lord, you have two birthdays. You have a natural birthday, then you have a supernatural birthday. You get born again. And you get to experience the life that this represents right here, this communion table. See, let me just go there. Amen. Pause. In the book of Exodus. Now, we understand there's an old and there's a new. There's an old covenant and there's a new covenant. But also, it's the word. And that word is beneficial in the old and it's in the new. Remember, in the old, there were types and shadows of things that we have in the new. Amen? We don't have to go to the priest like Tammy prophesied. We are a priest if you're born again. Not the priest. We are sons of the King, King Jesus. And we can approach him, his throne, anytime. Not weakly, but boldly. Not as a sinner, but as a son and daughter. See, because when you come to Jesus to ask for forgiveness and get born again, you are no longer in the sinner class. Come on. When you graduate high school, you're no longer in the graduating class. You have graduated. So when you come to Jesus and receive him, you are in the God class. And there's no sin in God. It's not, I'm not saying we still don't sin, but he doesn't look at our sin if you receive Jesus. That's the whole purpose of salvation. Doesn't give you a license to go sin. It gives you the power to overcome sin. That's the difference. So in Exodus chapter 11, this is our history of the communion table here. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses. Moses was the pastor. He had over, after he left Egypt, he had over 1.5 million plus. It was 600,000 men, not counting the women and children. And he said, he spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. Egypt represents the world in our day. And this month, he said, shall be your beginnings of months. Who is the beginning? Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. See, this is a type of a shadow that was going to come. Jesus was coming again. In the beginning, see, now we go all the way back before the curse, Terry. When we sit here at this table and commune together, we're going back. See, we got to tell the devil, get back, because Jesus came back. Amen. And it says, this month shall be your beginnings of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation. I'm speaking to you this morning, saying on the 10th month, we do it on the first Sunday of the month. This shall be, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if I'm not going, we're going to come on down a little bit. And number 5, verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, without spot, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Jesus is the Lamb, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. I'm showing you the shadow, but then I'm showing you Jesus. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day, talking about this lamb of the same month. Then the whole assembly of congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Jesus was cut off. When he was on that cross, he was crucified. He was cut off from mankind. But that was the beginning. That was the beginning of the end of the curse. Amen. And then, I'm just going to go and read through here. We need to hear this. Keep it until the 14th day of the same month, then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it and eat it at twilight. Kill it at twilight. That's 3 p.m. And they shall take some of the blood, say blood, and put it on the two doorposts, say cross. And on the lintel of the houses, we are the houses. We are that temple of the Holy Ghost, of God. And then you shall eat it. Verse 8, they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. Remember Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. That was what he was quoting. They couldn't understand it because they didn't have the revelation of what was happening right before their eyes. That was a shadow. He is the sacrifice. His body, his flesh had to be destroyed. It had to be consumed with sin so that we could come into the covenant and be here today. Born again, receiving this table, remembering him, that when judgment came on all those people of the world that would not what? Let God's people go. I'm telling the devil today, he's got to let go of your body. He's got to let go of your finances. He's got to let go of your family. Because when you take this table, we're remembering Jesus, and he's remembering the Father, the covenant that said, let my people go. And when the death angel came, when the destroyer came, when he saw the blood, see, I see the blood out here. I see a flood of the blood. It had to pass over. Psalms 91. Amen. It shall not come near us. Now, if it's attacking us, you know what it's got to do? We got to use our voice. Say, Lord, I plead the blood of the covenant. I'm not reminding God. I'm reminding the devil. You're under my feet. Get out of my life. Touch not my family, my anointed. Amen. You're anointed by God. And the devil's touching you. I'm telling him he's got to get under your feet right now in the name of Jesus. If our servers will come forward this morning and serve our elements, we have rights and we have privileges in the covenant. Amen. It's been purchased by the blood. His body was a sacrifice. His body took on all the sin. His soul. Jesus was pressed in that garden. He was pressed like a grape goes through the wine press. He was under so much pressure. The Bible says, it says his body, he sweated as if drops of blood. There was so much pressure coming upon him because he could have passed that cup, Terry. He could have said, Father, take this from me. He said, no. He went through that temptation. We're going to go through some temptations, but we got to say no. Jesus passed the test. He went to that cross and he became the sacrificial lamb that we could put the sins of the whole world was put on a scapegoat. It was put on Jesus. You know where he took those sins? He took them to the wilderness. He took them to hell. He took them to hell. Amen. So they're far from us. And one day they're going to be cast. They're going to all be in a lake of fire. All those sins and people that have not received Jesus. So if you don't know him today, if you're listening by online, before you take the cup, you need to take the cross. You need to come to Jesus because this is a blessing that comes from him. You need to get born again. Well, Pastor, I don't know what to do. You need to just call on Jesus. Confess, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And if you do that, you don't have to confess that but one time that you're lost. Because once he comes in, you'll never be lost if you continue to walk with him. Because darkness can never come to light. And once you call upon him, he saves you and he heals you and he seals you with his Holy Spirit of promise. And then you can come to church and learn of the Lord. Get around his people and learn how good he is. How good he is. Amen. Don't go around telling the sinners how bad, how much of a sinner they are. They know that. They need to know how good God is and that he loves them. That will cause them to repent and turn. Amen. So if you'll take that wafer. And Lord, we thank you. Just like you, instructions was given to Moses, Lord. They were told to take it and eat. Eat all of it. Knowing that this, Jesus' body was broken so that ours could be made whole. So, Father, we thank you for your promise. That, Lord, when they left Egypt, when they left that place, the Bible says there was none feeble among them. And, Lord, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. This covenant is still speaking. Then when we leave this church, we can leave here without any sickness, without any disease, without any high blood pressure, crippling arthritis, diabetes, whatever man has named it, Jesus, your name is greater. We don't have to leave here broke. We leave here rich. Blessings chasing us down and overtaking us. That's what your covenant provides. They said they had favor with the world. With Egypt, God, you gave us favor. We thank you for that. And we receive it by faith. And then take this cup of blessing. Jesus said, No longer do I call you my disciples. I call you my friends. This represents the blood that is our pathway. It is the way to to everlasting life. That don't start in heaven. That starts when you got born again. That's a covenant. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. The blood has washed us. The blood cleanses us. The blood screams forgiveness for us. Judgment, we are not judged. We are now loved because we are under the blood. And we thank you, Father God, that we are free from sin, sickness, disease. We are free from the curse of the law. And we are free to say we love you and thank you. And we receive from you today in Jesus' name. And just take a little time and just worship the Lord. Worshiping in your most holy faith, praying in tongues, singing in the Spirit. Just thank him. How precious he is. How precious is that blood? The blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Father, and we worship you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for sending us, leaving us a helper, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in our midst today. Yes, Lord. As we get ready to receive our offering this morning, I want to remind you of a scripture that has been burned in my spirit, Matthew 6:33. I want to thank everybody was able to attend our wedding for Ruthie and Evan yesterday. We didn't have enough seats to accommodate the whole invitation for the church, but your spirit and your prayers were received, and we'll be doing something special in December. The church wanted to definitely, with Ruthie being a part of this church, growing in this church, the church wanted to recognize her and Evan, so we will be planning something here and be something special because each one of you are special. Amen. And she's grown in the knowledge and of the truth. And a great celebration of God and marriage and the words that was spoken. And I know one time we was looking to maybe have Dr. Howard do the proceedings. And, you know, this is Ruthie's choice. And just some things worked out that they needed to go with a pastor there in South Carolina. But, Jim, it was just a blessing. Words you've spoken over me were spoken over that ceremony. It was beautiful. As a minister and then as a dad, you know, you struggle between the two. You like to do both, but I think I settled into the place that I needed to. Thank Kelsey and Sherry for letting me know, hey, this is the time you need to be dad. And I didn't know, you know, you don't know what the minister, how he's going to go. Each is different, you know, the word. But it was just amazing how when I gave Ruthie away and I was to take her hand and put it in Evan's hand, But then I didn't know the pastor from rehearsal. Then you walk away, you sit down. But the pastor wasn't at the rehearsal then on. So that's good at the rehearsal, because at that moment he started praying. And Sherry told me many times during the rehearsal, now Ruthie's dress is going to be out here about 10 feet. Just don't step on over when you release hands, because you got to wait for her to walk up. Well, I didn't have to worry about that, because we had a nice prayer and my hands was gathered in their hands, even though I didn't get to do the ceremony. You know what I mean, Jim? It was covenant. God just blessed that special prayer there, that mine was able to go with that first daughter, with that. So it was a blessing, and then I walked around. And then, I've got him a phone. At the end of the ceremony, you know, you had the Lord lead you, speak a blessing, whatever it was, whatever it may be. But I don't have it on my phone. But pretty much, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. People were asking me, were you emotional yesterday, Pastor? No, I had peace. I just had peace. We had peace. And see, that was a word that my pastor had a lot of times dismissed our congregation for many years. And it was just the word. See, the word bringing the peace. All of that was involved. And then toward the last, and we had a great videographer, teams working together. And so toward the end, about 15 minutes, you know, a lot of music going on. It's pretty loud in there, Tim. You know, you got loud music. That's just what happens at celebrations. But we were asked if we would do a video interview outside on the front porch with the music stuff going on. A lot of distractions, Reed. You know, you're trying to think about something, but you got music behind you, blaring, blaring, you know. And can we not take us inside? But I said, yeah. You know, just something that, what was it, Sherry? Just any advice you could give to the bride and groom. So I asked her, I looked at her, I said, he says, hold the mic. You know, he's got the video going. It would go red and let us know. But I said, Sherry, you know what he said, right? Any advice we could give him, right? Because I know she was tired. We were running on anointing. We were tired. But you know what I gave him? What I'm going to give you. Amen. On that interview, it turned out in there, just what kind of advice? And I just went to Matthew 6:33. Or the Holy Ghost. Lord went to Matthew 6:33. I said, and I'll have the video to say, don't quote me on this completely. It was late last night. But I said, if, as far as Ruthie and Evan, I said, if you'll keep your number one priority in life to keep God first, I wish I'd have said, you won't be last, because that's the truth. You keep God first, he'll make sure you're not last. Amen? Now, don't get into it ain't happening just because you don't see it yet. That means you're in faith. Because faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence. You ain't seen it yet. But once you see it and got it, get your faith on something else. Well, I had perfect peace last night, or before that, that, yeah, there's some distractions in that relationship, but you know what? God is in it. And I had peace yesterday that passed understanding. I didn't have no tears because I had peace. I'm not saying they're not going to shed some tears. No, I'm still going to shed some. But in that moment, I have peace that passes the understanding. I got a blood covenant with Jesus. And he said, when you let her go, I'm picking up the show. Amen. 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 And old Toby Mac had a good song talking about the show, the final show. I can't remember right now, but there was a good Toby Mac says, in other words, putting on a show. If God comes in, they're going to be a good show. Because he don't bring nothing but good. And let him do the performing. Amen. You just give him the faith and let him perform through you. So I just pretty much said, if you'll do that, you keep God first in your life and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I said, all these things that they're going to need in this marriage will be added to them. Amen. And you know what? I couldn't have said it no better. Amen. But if you get it, when you give this morning, don't try to figure out how God's going to do everything. You just got to trust him. He's done everything. And we just need to be there in the thing. Amen. The thing that he has created. And when he created you, let me tell you something. He didn't create no junk. I don't care what the world says, what they're going to say about you. Just focus on what God has said about you. He says you're blessed. Highly favored to prosper. Amen. That's who we are. So you ready to give this morning? Because what you're going to do is going to bless somebody else. We're going to preach the gospel to them by radio, by TV, by any tool that God will give us and the resources, we're going to do it. And that's what you're doing. You're touching lives, changing people, and getting the word out there. And that's the main thing. Because one day, God said, my spirit's not going to always strive with men. There's coming an end to this book. There's coming an end to this world that we know it. Because there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But until then, the kingdom needs to grow. So let's stand this morning. And as you give, know that you are changing lives one soul at a time. Amen. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to give into the kingdom, an everlasting kingdom, Lord, today, Father God, and every day is a great day. And we thank you for the promises, Lord, that we have in your book. All your promises are yea and amen. So we just say amen, Lord. Let it be to us. Let it be to us, just like this covenant, Lord, just like all these types and shadows, Father God. Jesus came on the spot. He was manifested. Father, we thank you for those suddenlies. Suddenly, oh my gosh, suddenly, there it is. There it is, Lord, there it is. What do you need? Say, there it is. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. Amen. In Jesus' name, go get it. Come bring your offering to the front. Worship the Lord.
You go. Something more than smoking lights. So I'll step out the way. I'll give you center stage. All right, spotlight. Give them what they came for. If you want to steal my show, I'll sit back and watch you go. If you got something to say, go on and take it away. Need you to steal my show. Can choose to say if you want to steal my show.
Oh, sorry, Judy. She's like, that's my best. That's the best part of the song. I tell you what, that's the audio video theme right there. That's the song I was talking about. If you'll just let God steal your show. In other words, amen, that's what Reed's going to do this morning. He's going to come up here and he's going to say, Lord, here I am. Now steal the show. Amen. He's always got something to show. Amen. Yeah, let's get our... I tell you what, just for today, let's stand together on our confession here. Thank you, Lord. Father God, you are an awesome God, and we thank you today that according to your word in Deuteronomy 6, 10 through 11, we're getting our lands and our places of employment. All of our debts are being eliminated, and we will owe no man nothing but to love one another. Today we claim our great and goodly cities, all of our houses full of good things, our vehicles and all the equipment and the people that we need to preach and teach the word of faith to the world to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, let's Jesus... steal the show today. Come on up here, Pastor Reed.
Hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Lord. Once again, good morning.
Good morning.
Let us pray. Our Father, most gracious God, we have come, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, once again for this day. For this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Holy Spirit, action, rise up here within me. Speak in through and out of me the word of God. Let it fall on fertile ground. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning. This morning, thanks to God, I'll be coming out of John 10 and 10, which reads as following. The thief come not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You see, thanks to God, God doesn't want us just to exist in needs and want, but he wants us to experience the fullness that what he has to offer us. So this morning, saints of God, I'm going to want to speak on living the abundant life. Living the abundant life. Have you considered your life? Do you sense that you are walking in fullness of this scripture, or you are in a place of want and need that never seemed to be fulfilled? You have to ask yourself that. Am I really living the abundant life that God has for me? Well, this morning, thanks to God, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 33, which Pastor always preached, spoke on, it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for what your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feed them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by making thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all of these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that ye seek, that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You see, saints of God, according to Matthew in chapter 6, verse 25 to 36, we are not to worry or even to be considered about any basic need in our life, such as food, shelter, clothes. If we are seeking first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, all these things will be added unto us. We don't have to worry, saints of God. This word said, do not worry anyway, but just be thankful and grateful that God knows that you're in need of these things, and he will supply. Because yes. I don't think nobody don't have no food on their table. I don't think nobody living up on the bridge, and I don't think nobody's walking around naked. God knows what you need. And he will supply your every need. I believe there's a spiritual fullness that God is really trying to deposit in our life that is much more important than our basic need. It is when we are walking in spiritual fullness of all that he must pour into our soul and spirit that our basic needs and much more are taken care of. Isaiah 55, verse 2 and 3 said, "Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Decline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercy of David." You see, thanks to God, this scripture point out the danger of empty souls and how vain it is to put your trust in the things of the world and carnal pleasure. We got to be careful, thanks to God, who we trust in. We can't just trust man. We lean on man. We lean on the government. We lean on your friends. But we really got to trust the Lord and stand on his words. As Christians who have been born again by God's Spirit, it is foolish to trust in the empty things of this life. To be truly satisfied in this life, we must invest our lives in those things that will have eternal value rather than those things that are temporal value. In contrast to having an empty soul, thanks to God, I believe it is God's deep desire for each of us to experience his God meeting our deepest need with a spiritual fullness that flows from his beginning. As we listen to him and follow his instructions, our soul will delight in his abundance. His desire is to bring us into a place of spiritual fullness. Amen. Psalms 36 and 8 said, "They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasure." When I use the word, thanks to God, spiritual fullness, what are some of the things that come to your mind? To me, I'll give you the idea of what I'm talking about, what it meant to be spiritual fullness. The fullness of God's blessing constitutes the following: God and his presence, wisdom and understanding, divine guidance, healing, financial, emotional needs, peace, righteousness, joy, freedom from guilt, knowledge of God's will, and most of all, spiritual rest. You see, thanks to God, when I think of spiritual fullness, I think of being abundantly satisfied in each of these areas. And you should too, thanks to God. That might be more out there, but these are some that you should be satisfied and rested in. These are the areas that are important to our life, both spiritual and natural. I believe God wants to open our mouth wide and be filled. You got to open your mouth, saints of God, and let and speak the things that's your desire. You got to speak boldly and come. What is that? Come boldly to the throne of grace. You got to speak boldly, saints of God. Don't be murmuring. Yeah, amen. When you the ones that have children, don't you just do something to you when they come? "Mom, Daddy, can I have some? Could you help me with, could you?" Don't that just irritate you? Just imagine how our Heavenly Father feel when we just come to him. "Lord, it's me again." Speak up. open your mouth and be filled with the fullness of God. You see, saints of God, Psalms 81:10 said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Open your mouth, saints of God. Because if you keep your mouth shut, you won't be fed. Unless there's something wrong with it and they intervene, just feed you through the tube. And I know nobody don't want that. Open your mouth, that delicious cake, those delicious pies, banana pudding. Open your mouths wide. I'm sure I don't want to go there and I don't want to never have to experience that, be intervened fed through a tube. Because I'm sure that banana pudding ain't going to taste the same. Open your mouth. As we open our mouth wide, we are preparing our heart to receive the fullness of all that God has to offer us, which include all things to pertaining unto life and godliness. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasure forevermore. You see, saints of God, it's right there. He will show you the path of life. The right path. It said, the word says, speak life, not death. Speak blessing, not curse. You are the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're blessed going in. You're blessed coming. Speak the word, saints of God. See, valuable keys to receive abundant blessing with spiritual fruitfulness. Now that we know that God really desires for each of us to be abundantly satisfied from the fullness of his house, let's look at some of the valuable keys and open our mouths and receiving from him. One, we must have a heart to thirst and seek for God. We must have a heart to thirst and seek for God. Psalm 63:1 said, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts after you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. Matthew 5:6 said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. Psalms 143:6 said, spread out my hands to you. My soul long for you like a thirsty land. See, to long after God implies in the Hebrew to seek greedily is a very aggressive word. This would involve intensive praying and fasting on occasion in addition to your regular time of praying and worshiping. Sometimes, thanks to God, we're going to have to fast and pray. We're going to have to push them pies and the TV and the computer and the phone. Or we have to push them aside. And yes, fast, and yes, concentrate on God's word. I'm guilty. Be honest. Not trying to say we all are. Not really fasting and getting into God's word and letting God speak to us. You see, saints of God, we have to set aside times for God each and every day. The word said, renew your mind daily. If you don't renew your mind daily, eventually it's going to go longer and longer, when you don't do something, it's going to lack. It's going to continue to just go further and further from God. But you got to renew your mind, saints of God. You got to stand in the words. You got to fast on occasion in addition to your regular fasting and praying. Personally and corporately wishing ways or thirsting after God. We got to pray and fast individual. We got to pray and fast corporately. Amen. You see, saints of God, Psalms 107, verse 9 says, "For he satisfied the longing soul and filled the hungry soul with goodness." This would include lots of time praying in the spirit as well. It is when we pray in the spirit that we build ourselves up in God and grow in faith that he fills with a fullness that only he can bring. You see, saints of God, we got to build ourselves up. We just can't just rely on the preacher to bring the word. Sometimes the preachers, he need prayer. He can't continue to just give, and not receive. We got to learn how to stand on God's word. We got to learn how to speak God's word. We got to learn how to rebuke the devil no matter what the circumstance is. We just can't continue to call on, well, let me call the pastor. But how many think about the pastor he's going through? How many of you just really prayed and fasted for your pastor, lifting your pastor up? Amen. We got Pastor Preacher coming. That's another. Amen. Yes, Lord. You see, it's when we pray in the spirit that we build ourselves up in God and grow in faith that he feels with a fullness that only he can bring us. 1 Corinthians 14 and 4 said, "He who speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." Use 1 and 20 said, "But you, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Amen. Be committed to God, saints of God, God's purpose and his destiny for your life. You got to give God time. Set a time for God, saints of God, to learn his purpose for you, to learn his destiny for you, his will for you. Like the old people used to say when I'm coming up, don't put the cart before the horse. And I used to wonder what that means. Don't put the cart before the horse. In other words, don't put the cart in front of the horse and think the horse is going to pull it. Don't put yourself in front of God and think God is going to follow you. Where he said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you." It didn't say God follow you, but you follow God. Amen. 2 Timothy 1 and 9 said, "God, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." You see, saints, because we are saved and called according to God's purpose, he has created each of us uniquely with a grace and distinct that is to be worked out in alignment with his own purpose and his grace. You know, see, saints of God, it is not about us. It is about him. It is about his purpose in your life. Amen. that we will have abundance of life. You see, saints of God, Psalms 139, 16, 17 says, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book, they all was written, the day fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are you, your thoughts to me, O Lord. So our thoughts is not his thoughts. But we need to be seeking after his thoughts. Lord, what you have me to do today? What is your plan for me today? Lord, I thank you for waking me up this morning. What would you have me to go? Where would you have me to go? What would you have me to do? And if you don't get no answer, go to Philippians 4. It'll tell you, think on these things. You see, saints of God, David understood that God had already marked out a destiny for him and that he committed his ways unto the Lord. It would be worked out, saints of God, if you only commit yourself to him. The more we seek to come into alignment and commit ourselves to the path that God has a purpose for our life, the more his abundance and pleasure we will be able to partake of. We got to get rid of this self. We got to get rid of this flesh, thanks to God, and live according to God, his purpose. See, his abundance is found on the path he has chosen for you. Not on your own path, what you're making, or what you think the way you should go, but the path God has set for you. That's where your abundance at. So you have to be careful not traveling in somebody else's lane. You got to stay in your own lane, travel in your own lane, saints of God, because what God has for you, it is for you. You see, saints of God, the path that God chosen for you is not on the path of self-will. Our calling is according to his purpose, not our own works. It's according to God's purpose for our life. Have a real love for the time you spent with God in his word. It is as we purpose to spend time in God's word that we really get to know him and how he thinks. As we do, our minds and thoughts become more and more conformed to his will and purpose for our life when we do that, saints of God. Romans 12 and 2 said, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Psalms 1, verse 1 and 3 to 3 says, blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall profit. That's abundance of God, not of your goodness, but God's goodness, his abundance. He said he'll bring, he'll give you abundance of life. You see, saints of God, it's about him. We see, saints of God, you must be spiritual minded in order to receive these abundance. Romans 8 and 6 said, for to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. You see, to be spiritual minded is to resist the old concept of thinking that come from being carnal-minded and to complete trust God's ways for you. Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6 said, through 6 said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. It is him, saints of God, that we need to let direct our paths, not what we think we should go, or what we should do, or what we should eat. Don't lean on your own understanding. Well, it was good for Mud Deer and Pawpaw, but it was good for them. But God's path for you is a totally different path. What's good for Terry might not be good for me. Whole different situation, whole different need. Although we on the same path of righteousness toward the victory at the end, but yet before we get to the end, we got to travel our own path. Amen. Don't be envious of other saints of God and what they got. Be content with what you have and be thankful for what you have. Isaiah 26 and 3 said, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind stayed on you because he trusted in you. Like I told you, Pastor had a lot of scriptures that I had. Trust in the Lord, saints of God. He will give you the perfect peace, not what the world gives. And I guarantee you, when you have a peace of God, you can sleep a sweet sleep at night. You don't have to worry about the light bill need paying. You don't have to think about the mortgage. You don't have to think about your job. You don't have to think about the people on your job. You don't have to think about your boss. But that peace that passes all understanding. Another error, be generous. Be a generous giver in all areas. I'm not just talking about money, thanks to God, but your time, your talent, your calling, your purpose in life. See, spiritual fullness and abundance come from being a generous giver in every aspect of your life, which includes serving, spiritual gift, hospitality, loving others, our financial, and more. It's not just about giving money. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 8 said, but this I said, he who soweth sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who soweth abundantly will also reap abundantly. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. You see, saints of God, don't give, if this is the right thing to do, and talk about it. Give because you want to, and that person's in need, or whatever the situation is, you give. If it's your time, your money, or your talent, or whatever, serving people. Well, there it is again. I'm Terry. Yes, if you're going to grow up and fuss about it, don't even do it.
Amen. That's right.
Be cheerful about it.
Yes.
Malachi 3:10 said, it said, bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, said the Lord of hosts, if I would not open for you the window of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there would not be room enough to receive it. You see, saints of God, we got to trust the Lord. We got to taste and see that he is good. He said the word that he is. Taste and see. Are we tasting and seeing and being spiritual filled with the abundance that God has for us? Luke 6:38 said, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So you give a penny, that measure coming back, what? If you give 100, that measure coming back, it's pressed down, thanks to God, and they're going to even be more because you're not giving grudgingly. The abundance. Another one, having a continued heart of repentance. I'm about to finish, thanks to God. Having a continued heart of repentance. It is important to understand that repentance is confirming and changing our thoughts about anything to agree with God's thoughts in ways that are much higher than ours. See, that's repentance. It's turning away from our thoughts and our ways. Not 360 degrees, but 180 degrees. You want to turn. Because you do one, 360, you're right back on the same path. Yeah, that's right. Just turn a little bit. And get on the right path that God has for you. You see, saints of God, it's important to keep our mind that we are in a continuous state of repenting before God as we are progressively being changed and conformed into his image. It is as we yield to him through each concept shift that we experience the refreshing and spiritual fullness of his abundance and pleasure toward us when we do that. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us, but we all, with unveiled face, behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, saints of God, we should be split image. Didn't the word say we're made in his image? Yeah. So we should be of complete image of God. Even in the natural, sometimes your child looks just like the father or just like the mother. Split image of them. I know Tammy's telling about Daniel. Man, that he is just like you. He is stubborn, just like you. I don't think so, but but we should be the same image as our Heavenly Father, because he made us in his image. And he got abundantly, because his storehouse, because he did not say he will open up the women of heaven. So he got abundance, saints of God. And if we're in this image, we should be living in that abundance. Last point, which is very important, saints of God, is learn how to rest in God. Learn how to rest in God. Isaiah 30:15 said, "For thou said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, and quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not." Psalms 116:7 said, "Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with you." Matthew 11:28-29 said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." Rest in the Lord, saints of God. In conclusion, we have seen that it is God's desire that we, as born-again Christians, walk in the spiritual fullness that calls us to experience an abundant life in Him. His desire, as we have seen in abundance, satisfies us with the fullness of His house. It is up to us to drink and be filled with the Holy Spirit, who brings us His fullness into our life. It is when we fail to drink from His fullness that we experience added demonic activities in our life. If our life are full of God and His goodness, saints of God, Satan doesn't stand much of a chance with us. So let us drink up and experience that all God has for us. Amen.
Just that was a good word, good strong word. Something got a little bit too loud. Oh, and you can turn that back on. Hit the mute on the top of that thing. There we go. But as Reed was giving that message, there was something I heard as I was coming to church this morning, as I was meditating on the communion, that, you know, resting. And how the Lord will give you revelation. He'll show you bits and pieces of things as you keep seeking Him. I ain't talking about understanding. I'm talking about revelation, and then you get the understanding of it. And right there in Exodus, Reed gave you a lot of word. Now you need to take that word and let the Spirit give you the understanding. Go back and listen to it again online. But more than that, highlight when the Spirit speaks to you, because the Holy Spirit will speak differently individually, because you're different areas in your life than I am, or Reed is, and Tammy is. But Jesus is the same, and He can minister to you what you need at the time that you need it. And right here in Exodus chapter 13, as the Lord was preparing to get His people out of bondage, they've been there for over 430 years, and that wasn't His will that they be there that long. But remember, God's got to work through people that don't necessarily listen when we give instructions. Amen. God gave Moses instructions, and Moses gave the instructions to the congregation, and some of them were sleeping. And, you know, I ain't preaching to you now. I'm preaching to the world. Amen. But if that convicted you, say, okay, Lord, I'm going to wake up. A lot of the church is asleep. I don't know how long, but they need to wake up and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying in our time. Amen. Exodus 13, verses 17. This is after he got them out. And this just caught my attention this morning. I want to share it to you today. Not all the time do I give you revelation that comes, but it just really, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. After the first church got started, they mocked them and made fun of them. They called them, they're the people of the way. Those way people. What they're talking about is those that was following Jesus. Because he was saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So they put a title on them, mocking them. Jesus freaks, holy rollers might be some of the words today. Let the people say what they want to say. But you stay in the way. Amen. Yahweh, the way, the only way to the Father. The only way to the promised land is his way. And let me tell you something, his way is the right way. It might not look like it at the time. There might be a Red Sea in the way. Come on. Reed, I'm sorry, but that anointing is going to hit me. I'm gonna try to do a double conclusion. This is double for our trouble, right? Amen. I'm sorry. The Lord just downloads this in you. There might be a Red Sea in your way. There might be a cancer in your way. There might be whatever it is in your way that you can't see. Jesus is there. If you're born again, even if you ain't born again, he's still there. You can repent right then and get healed and delivered right then. And you can get healed before you get saved. Because healing is a part of salvation. It's the goodness of God. Sometimes God will heal somebody just to show them how good they are in spite of themselves. That's what we got to do to people. Amen. No matter how bad they look, Jesus sees them saved, healed. He's already did it by faith. Verse 17, this is God's got them out from Pharaoh. Got them out here, trying to get them to the promised land. That's his goal, the promised land. And it says right here, I'm going to go on back up to 15, called Reed mentioned stubborn, and I didn't see this, so I just looked, I fastened my eye on it. I'm going to try to redeem him a little bit. It says that it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn. Now, I don't see where Reed looks like Pharaoh. So you ain't stubborn, Reed. You got to repent. Go ahead, stand up. Stand up, you got to repent. Turn around. There you go. You're going to have to repent. Take that word back. You're not stubborn. Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go. That the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn, man, beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb. Verse 16, and it shall be as a sign on your hand and your frontlets before your eyes. For by strength of the hand of the Lord brought us out of Egypt. Where was your Egypt in the world? God brought you out to bring you in. See, he brought you out to bring. He didn't bring you out just to leave you out. He didn't leave you out there in the dry. He didn't leave you out there to just, now he got you out, now get it on your own. No, he brought it to get you to a promised place. This is what I want you to hear right here. Now, verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by the way. He didn't lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines. See, that ain't our way. Philistines, let me get there, Philistines. Although that was near. It was closer, Jim. It was shorter to get that way, to go that way. See, a lot of times we want to do the microwave way. 30 seconds way. When somebody can do, remember those percolators? Remember the old percolating coffee things? It wasn't microwavable. See, we got instant coffee now. We just throw it in there. Boy, it's better when you can smell it roasting in the fire. It's better God's way. It might not be the short way, but it's the good way, Tammy. Sometimes your wilderness, your Red Sea might be J.C. Penney, but trust God in the way. Amen? Because suddenly you put your foot in it, it's gone. That Red Sea, that path opens up. Because a divine connection comes to J.C. Penney. Elijah comes to J.C. Penney, a prophet with the word. Amen? Or a bird. You understand about the birds. That was the provision. Amen? The birds was bringing the provision. God didn't take them by that way, by the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see the war. See, God's purpose was not war. If they would see all the fighting, see, they've been slaves. Now, to see all the fighting and the blood, if they had went that way, they'd say, we got to go back home. We got to go back to Pharaoh. See, war is not pretty. Ask a lot of Vietnam vets. Amen. But it has to be. Lest they forget, lest they change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led. This is what Reed was telling us this morning. Let God lead you. Don't get the cart before the horse. Don't get your way in front of God's way. So God led the people around by way. I like that way. Jesus, the Word. By the way. Of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And I like, so they even took Joseph's bones with them. Why? Because he said, when y'all leave, don't even leave my bones back here in that place. See, because there's going to be a resurrection one day of the bones. The bones are going to join the soul and the spirit again, and the flesh is going to be made new. That's called the rapture. Joseph's bones ain't even going to be left in Egypt. They're going to be in the promised land. Why? Because he had this testimony. He followed Jesus. He followed the word, the way. Amen. Talking about Joseph. Them bones are going to be not going to be dry no more. So what am I saying to you? God was going to fight their battle. See, there was a short way, but that was by the Philistines, the Jebusites, the Perizzites, Amorites. But God called us the favorites. And see, if you let God, you're a favorite to him. And he knows the right way for you. He don't want you to go fight that battle, see all that war, because he was going to take care of Pharaoh and his army, not you. All he wanted you to do was follow the pastor. He had the instructions. We're going this way, but there's a Red Sea down there. Don't care. God's going to make a way. Jesus is the way. Amen. And you might thought, there ain't no way. That's God. Amen. He takes the impossible and makes it possible in your life. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this service today. And if anybody in here, I know the mind. It wants to always look at what it can see, taste, hear, smell, and touch. But, Father, I thank you right now, according to your word, that we have the victory. You sent us Jesus, and he is the way. And he has made a way not only for the children of Israel back in that day, but, Lord, we're talking about our day. Your word is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient for our day. So, Lord, whatever is facing this congregation today, Lord, thank you, Jesus, that looks impossible, the Lord says, put your faith in the water. Step into that water. Step into that place. Step in. Even though you're in that place, you're not staying there. But you got to step in by faith. When Moses, when the pastor, when the word, when Jesus said, speak it, and you'll see the wonders. God says you'll see his wonders. You'll see the wonders. And that name is Jesus. And when you speak that name in faith, your way will be okay. Amen. Your way will be okay. God's going to fight the battle. But he needs our voice, the voice of victory, so that he can show his wonders, not in Egypt, but in our world today. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for that. And I don't care what wilderness is in front of you. I've got battles. We've all got battles. But we got to rest in the promise right now. We got to rest in the promise of God. That we're going to decree it, declare it. We're going to be down here and we're going to bring forth fruit in our old age, whatever age you think is old. God says, don't think about it. I'm going to raise you up. Set you on places where you can see. When you think about, this is the time of season, you see fog around. Don't think about what you can't see. Think about the favor of God that you will see. So when you see that fog, think about the favor of God. Because it's all around you. Amen. Father, we thank you for that. And give you praise for it. In Jesus' name. You need personal prayer this morning?
Thank you for joining us today at Word of Faith Worship Center. I pray God's grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then according to Romans 10, 8 through 10, the word is nigh unto thee, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. We would ask you today to simply say, yes, I believe this, and I say yes to Jesus. Now, if you just received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would encourage you to get into a good church. Our church is located at 757 Harris Street, Northwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28025. And you can also find us on the internet at wordoffaithworshipcenter.org or wofwc.org. We hope to see you soon. Blessings.